This morning you get to hear from me. Thanks, guys. And from the Holy Spirit. And from the word of the Lord. So let's pray, and then we'll turn to Scripture. Dear Father, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for calling us your own. After that, making us your own, calling us your sons and daughters. Thank you for this inheritance. Thank you for your provision in this. And thank you for your word that teaches us and guides us. And thank you for your spirit that does the work on the inside, that turns our hearts back towards you. We ask for your filling and your direction this morning to overflow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to open up the scriptures to Colossians 3:12-17, you can read along with me. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Colossians 3:12-17. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must also forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. As a musician who loves to lead worship, these last few verses have always been my, like, hoo-ah moment. The singing in the church. It's what we're all about. Well, actually, that's the truth. From the very beginning, the church has been a singing church. Philo of Alexandria, the Jewish philosopher, as quoted in Barclay's commentary on Colossians, says that often they would spend the whole night in hymns and songs. It sounds like a coffee house to me. Is that about right? I mean, some of it was even a little rowdy in antiphonal worship. We're calling back and forth like, who's great? Who's great? God's great. And that's how I picture antiphonal praise. And the other stuff was spontaneous. People had written stuff in the week before and brought it to edify the church and to offer thanks to God. So it definitely sounds like a coffee house to me. But Philo of Alexandria, thus Barclay goes on to share of the Roman governor Pliny's report to Trajan, the Roman emperor. This is an official report. They meet at dawn to sing a hymn to Christ as God. End of report. That was it. Those Christians, they get up early. They sing about Jesus as God. And what do today? We get up early. We sing about Jesus as God. We're still doing it. But I don't want you to miss, I don't want you or I to miss in these surrounding verses from Colossians, nay, even the surrounding whole of Scripture, those next three words following. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. Do you notice what comes next? With thankful hearts. And so we land at the fitting topical theme for this Sunday, worshiping God with thankful hearts. And I don't know if your Thanksgiving dinner is going to sound like the rest of Colossians there, peaceable, in perfect harmony, all getting together as family, right before an election. But that's what we're called to be. The truth of the matter is, one can't worship God without a thankful heart. Don't forget that the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So what is thankfulness? Cambridge Dictionary defines it as the feeling of being happy or grateful because of something. But is that the depth of what Paul is going for here? A feeling? That's half of it. The other half is gratitude. The heart of thanks that pours out these offerings back to God. We have had grace poured into us, even to overflowing, that we are now as a fountain of praise spilling out in song and deed. We are now to be known as the most grateful of people. Why is Paul having to teach the Colossians this? Isn't it plain to them? This indwelling of the Holy Spirit teaching us. Firstly, it's Paul's bridge to everything for all his epistles. He models it as one of the most important aspects of the Christian life. Secondly, they've had false teachers come in and teach them that Jesus wasn't actually God. How confusing would that scenario be? How do you know who to worship, and is he worth worshiping? Thirdly, these are new Christians, likely with only a newly kindled interest because of the roots of Jesus and what Judaism was about, and how to approach the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has poured out his grace upon us. Israelites had the practice of thanksgiving through sacrifice and tithing instilled in them from the times of the patriarchs. The temple was set up not only for the remission of sins, but to offer other offerings of thanks in recognition of God's hand in their lives. To do otherwise is chastised against God himself. O my people, listen as I speak. Here are my charges against you, O Israel. I am God, your God. I have no complaint against your sacrifices or the burnt offerings you constantly offer, but I do not need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. For all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for all the world is mine and everything in it. Do I eat the meat of bulls? Do I drink the blood of goats? Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God, and keep the vows you made to the Most High. Psalm 50, 7 to 14, if you need to stick a thumb in it. And so the psalmist humbly acknowledges all of the above and exhorts us further in Psalm 100 to shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. The psalmist's boldness in declaring the praises of God rightly stems from his humility, his utter need for God's goodness, his need for unfailing love, his need for a faithful one who does not abandon him. If you reread Psalm 100, you'll see it, and I'll leave that for you. Barclay sums up well the role of humility before God and the twofold nature of the worshiper's approach to God. It is not one of servility, as found in Israel or Greece, as displayed in the lack of language for such an expression, but of an awareness of our creatureliness and shared lineage. He says, "It has often been said that humility was a virtue created by Christianity. In classical Greek, there is no word for humility which has not some tinge of servility. But Christian humility is not a cringing thing. It is based on two things. First, on the divine side, it is based on the awareness of the creatureliness of humanity, of humility. God is the creator, man the creature. And in the presence of the creator, the creature cannot feel anything else but humility. Second, on the human side, it is based on the belief that all men are the sons of God, and there is no room for arrogance when we are living among men and women who are all of royal lineage. We approach him with thankfulness in humility. Our position outside him as humanity in praise, as receivers of his grace and an entitlement, because of our position inside him as heirs to the throne." I'll say that again. We approach him with thankfulness in humility, which is our position outside him as humanity, in praise, as receivers of his grace, and in entitlement, because of our position inside him as heirs to the throne. I found it interesting between my research for our Youth Revive messages and this morning's message that the Lord's Prayer has often been talked about as distinctly being absent of offering thanks. You have a model of prayer, and I don't know about you, but most of my prayer is thanks. And you have this model from Jesus, and you go, where is this thanksgiving that I'm supposed to be seeing? But this is only the surface. And so for the sake of our youth, and even those in the breakout studying the Lord's Prayer, let's peel back the surface to reveal the thankful heart that Jesus is exemplifying in this prayer, taking into consideration what's just been said about thankfulness and humility, and the likeness it has to these, and the likeness it has to these thanksgiving psalms in humility, praise, and entitlement. At the same time that we bow in reverence, we are clinging to his frame and simultaneously standing in victory, knowing it is done. A security only found as though a child does, enfolded in their earthly father's arms, but in their creator and heavenly father's embrace. Our Father. It's a community humbly approaching God in subjection to his will and thankful dependence on him for provision, but also the adopted one's privilege to call him theirs. Who art in heaven? A second expression of God's loftiness and esteem above us, as well as capacity to see and hear us, and his capability to act. We prayed this morning. God hears. He acts. Hallowed be thy name. He is set apart from us, holy and deserving all praise. His great name and deeds precede him. Or what reason would we have to say, hallowed be thy name? Thy kingdom come. In opposition to our own kingdom, our own kingship. We're not on the throne. God is on the throne. Thy will be done. Also in opposition to the desires and whims of my own heart. On earth as it is in heaven. Your headship, your leadership, your way of doing things is what I need, what we need. Give us this day our daily bread. Asking in expectation that it can and will be provided. Asking as acknowledgement of his goodness, and that by his hand alone, the very creator of our universe, of ourselves and our sustenance, are we taken care of. It's by his hand. And forgive us our trespasses. In the same likeness that we ask for this food, because God is the one who made it, we ask for forgiveness of sins, knowing full well that it is God who forgives sins, and is striving to do so on our behalf. As we forgive those who trespass against us, thankful gratitude pouring out as an act of obedience, mimicking the nature of God by the provision of God to bring God alone praise. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We know God can and will deliver when we ask, and that we cannot and shall not be able to save ourselves. We come humbly, yet entitled, to God again and again in this prayer. Firstly, because He has caused us to by his own good grace. And secondly, because we acknowledge and know from who, from where, and how our needs are met. We come because of thankfulness. We accept because we know it is only he who provides it, and there is no other way. When Jesus said to be like little children, he must have heard how they pray. My daughter, at 3 years old, seemed to have a deeper grasp on this message than any adult could. And my wife was reading some memory books this morning to me, and so you get a bit of the cuteness warp factor here. This is how she would pray at 3 years old. Dear God, thank you for this food, and for all those who have no food. I will give them grapes. Dear God, thank you for all the people I don't know. That was her prayer. And dear Heavenly Father, thank you for oranges. Bless all the people who have no oranges. Thankfulness is simple. Acknowledge him as God and respond to his goodness. The New International Dictionary of Theology, in exploring this topic, says, when Paul summoned his readers to thanksgiving amidst his exhortations, he marks out thanksgiving and the showing of gratitude as basic and lasting elements of the Christian life. No petition and intercession can be made without simultaneous thanksgiving. A life based on thanksgiving is the converse of an evil life. Grant has been speaking from Ephesians about God's hand in everything, from creation to election to these spiritual blessings that are being given to us. It's all about God, for our benefit and to bring even more glory to God. It was interesting to discover the Greek roots of the words grace, charisma, a gift, even a divine gift that is given freely, or even translated simply as salvation. And then thankfulness, eucharistio, or a proper rejoicing, to be the same word, chairo, joy. The root of those, both of those was chairo, joy. So it was God's joy to give us the greatest gift, that we would receive it by his grace, to offer back thanksgiving, which is also only provided by his grace through his Spirit, so that God, through these provisions and the joy that it brought him to include us in it, is praised. That whole provisioning thing of God blows my mind almost every day. A stumbling mess without him. Then to think that we missed out on a connection between our returning of praise to God in celebrating the Lord's Supper and the words that it came to be known as, Eucharistio. Yeah, sorry, Eucharistos. We are a people to be marked by thankfulness, practicing thankfulness, exuding thankfulness. Forget the whole point that God built it in us to function and be happier human beings when we are thankful. Look at Mike. Just, you're happy. I love it. You're so thankful. Every week, every day you have something. Expressing thankfulness helps us remember that God is in control. Thankfulness then is not only appropriate, it is actually healthy and beneficial to us. God knows how we are made, and he designed us to thrive when we are humble, moral, and thankful. When we are arrogant, immoral, and ungrateful, we cannot have fellowship with him, nor can we experience all it means to be created in the image of God. So take off your old self, as Paul says earlier in Colossians there, and put on your new self. Your ungratefulness is dead and belongs to your sin nature. Take up your new self, which can only, when having fully embraced the gospel, exude thankfulness. To think that some miss the whole point of our creation. The gospel is a gift. A gift can only be a gift when it is accepted with thankfulness. Otherwise, it's like a curse, a dead weight holding your own will down. And so the gospel must be accepted with thankfulness. If we don't come to God in thankfulness, there's a warning about this for the last days, which we're in. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. Did you know it was such a sin to be ungrateful? It separates you from that gift. That's 1 Timothy 3:2. And Romans 1:21 to 25. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their heart desired. The Gospel of Luke gives us a stunning glimpse at Jesus' expected right response from the 10 healed lepers. And his words ring just as clear for us today as it did for the one who returned to offer thanks. It's Luke 17:11 to 19. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God!" He fell at the ground of Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." What a gift the other 9 lost out on. Your faith has saved you. Thankfulness is your acceptance of the gifts of God. And I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, and I'll continue. Be marked by thankfulness. A full trust in God's will in all things. God's provisioning in all things. Be gracious to one another, as God has been gracious to you. Sum up the 2 greatest commandments by having thanksgiving overflow from your heart. Love God and love your neighbor. That's what this Thanksgiving is about. It's not about you. But God has blessed you. And God blesses you further still when you're thankful. And you have the opportunity to respond in worship by thankfulness. This giving of joy that God has given you. And bless those around you. That is the gospel. You receive and you give. Let it overflow. Now let's practice thanksgiving. Pour your hands. It's a very tangible lesson. Pour your hands into somebody else's hands. Those things that God has blessed you with, bless each other with. They weren't just for you. They're not our own or of our own making or providing. But all of those things are given by God. Bless each other with those things. You know what they are. And when you're done there, pour it out to God. The simple act of receiving and passing on is the gospel lived out. A life of thanksgiving doesn't hold it in, but because the love welling up inside overflows to God and those around you. Forgiveness is yours. Pass it on to your family this season. Pass it on to each other this season. Love is yours. Blessings are yours. Pass it on. Let your thankful heart shine through so others see the gospel pouring out. And if you have a Bible there, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 100. If you don't have one, there's some in the seats. And this is your marching orders for the week, for your life. Take it home. Psalm 100. And if you have the NLT, you can read along out loud with me. "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." Amen. Go in peace and thankfulness this morning.
God. I'm glad there's a team here.